This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Asshole is as tight as a 15-year-old.
God bless.
Not that I see a lot of assholes that young, but I feel it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. My hair is virginal, and so is like the deep inside of my butthole.
I am such a huge proponent of doing butt stuff to people. It's what I feel sets me apart as a lover. If I can humbly say there's ever an opportunity for me to be set apart as a lover, I feel that when I vibe best with someone, I need to have access to doing butt stuff.
I agree. Butt stuff's great. I just don't know that I want like a penis going in.
I've only done that where I put...
Hey, jaded, like you anticipated. Haters gonna hate it. And yeah, it's X-rated. Let my words get you faded.
Jaded.
Mano. Vamos ficar jadeada.
Ah, vamos lá. We're naked on these fucking velour pink chairs. Emma Woman's here, everybody. Come on, give it up for her.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for coming.
Of course. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. I feel like it's starting too quickly and I'm feeling overwhelmed.
I couldn't relate more. I had a breakdown. I want to say not yesterday, not the day before, not the day before that, the days before that. I was having a really hard time.
It's hard. It's too much too quickly.
Yes.
And I think, are we good? What is that? Sam, how
are
dare you?
Are you hearing things? I don't hear anything.
I'm hearing things.
I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking.
It's so, you know, Sam, I'm going to kill you. Can you not play stuff during our podcast? Fuck, Jesus. You know what? Everything's falling apart around me. Yeah, can you check that everything is connected and going? That would be awesome.
Roast battle.
Yeah, let's just keep all of this, and you know, you guys get to see the ins and outs.
Oh, you want to keep with this right now?
You know,
right.
Fuck it. You know, because
behind the scenes, exclusive.
You know what? Everybody thinks, ooh, podcast, so fun, so
right.
Easy.
No fun, no ease.
No ease.
There's no fun. There's no ease.
But
anything.
All right, we're good.
All right, we're back.
Where were we? Breakdowns.
Yes. Breakdown. Yeah. Oh, things are opening up too quick.
Yeah.
Too quick.
You were saying
fast.
You can relate.
I relate. And it was like there was no amount. I tried to do so many things. I was like, this is going to be the prep for when things open up. But I did not feel prepped. I felt totally rattled. And it was just too many things. And then on top of all that, my tooth blew out of my face.
Yes. Listen, tooth issues are rough. My boyfriend also has a half a tooth in the front. And it breaks at the most inconvenient times.
What happened to his tooth?
He just had a half a tooth when I met him, and I was like, I can't wait to fix that tooth once he's mine. That's the first thing I'm doing.
What do you mean he had half a tooth?
Like, he just broke his tooth at one point and then never fixed it.
Wow.
So it was like not all the way, but he's so hot. He was just like, fuck it. If I'm on Temptation Island with half a tooth, I can live life with half a tooth.
He's so hot. He could be on Temptation Island with half a head.
But guess what? He didn't tempt anybody. That's why I got him.
He didn't tempt anybody?
No.
There's no way.
He got kicked off after one day.
That's insane. He's so incredibly good looking.
He's like, very attractive. Very sweet, too.
How did he not tempt anybody? I don't understand.
The first day he was there, so like late at night, they stay in these separate houses.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they isolate them. He was in a hotel for like 2 weeks by himself without a phone beforehand. So the second they come together, they're like, party, oh my God, interaction. And they got all drunk and he slipped and fell.
Okay, that
running
happens.
Around and broke his shoulder.
Oh God.
And it was like on Valium just the next day, like,
okay, so here's the thing. It wasn't that he didn't not tempt anybody. He was injured and drugged, and they were probably concerned. What are you doing here? You need to go home.
And then after one day, he was like, good night. He's done.
Okay, so it wasn't like he was at his peak time of not tempting, but thank God that happened.
But it's funny that you say peak, because then he was on peak, or was it called peak of love? That was like his second. That's the one I made fun of. That's how I met him.
Right, I saw that clip that you guys had, and I was like, no way! What a way to meet somebody.
But wait, tell me. So how did the tooth thing happen?
Okay, this is what happened. Wait, is that how his tooth got broken when he slipped and fell?
No, that's his shoulder. His tooth was already half there.
Wow.
Yeah.
God. Oh, well, it's not fun having a broken tooth in your front of your mouth.
Yeah.
But this is what happened. So I'd say maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, I lived in Harlem and I was grinding my teeth down. And I saw this dentist that was like, you need to get your teeth fixed. I'm like, all right, fine. I had no dental insurance.
But like what teeth fixed? Like get up.
It was these back teeth. And then I also wanted to get veneers.
Right.
But veneers are so, I kept getting quoted at like 30,000, like 40,000.
That's a good price.
And that's a good price. Yeah. Oh, wait till you hear the price I got them at. Which is part of the problem. So
$8. Here's a coupon for McDonald's. Will you take this?
Right. Yeah. You get your fries and now you get some new teeth. Like, this, what could go wrong? So this is gonna sound pretty stupid, but like you might get the pitch they had and why it worked on me. So the dentist was like, oh, you work in entertainment. I was like, yeah. And he goes, so you need TV teeth? And I was like, I do. I need TV teeth. And he's like, I'll give you TV teeth for like $7,000. And I was like, wow, because everyone else was saying like all double these dish. Other grand.
Yeah.
So I said I would do it. And I went in and he did veneers and everything was fine until about maybe 7 months ago, one of my veneers popped out. That was a whole thing. Then another one popped out. That was a whole thing. While I was in the dentist getting one fixed, another fucking one popped out. I'm in the dentist getting fixed and I go, and there's another one. And they're like, what? And I was like, it's about to. And then it just like fell into my mouth. But that's all not this front tooth that's happened.
Okay.
So I was like, maybe this is like 4 weeks ago. My tooth feels kind of weird. And it's giving me a little bit of a list now. Tooth is feeling weird. I'm like, something's wrong. I started seeing somebody new. I don't know if we caught up about this, but me and my girlfriend broke up.
Yeah, we know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing someone kind of new. We're making out. I'm like, something's not right. And she was like, you know, with you as a person. I was like, yes. And also my tooth.
Like my head and my brain and my teeth.
My heart and my soul. So you have really nice teeth, by the way.
Oh, thanks. They're like garbage teeth on the inside. Really? Just good on the outside.
They look good.
Thanks.
So I was like, something's not right. The next day I go into the dentist and they said that I had fractured my tooth across the front. And because I had the veneer, it was like kind of like making it seem like it was more okay than it was. But the tooth was cleanly broken.
But wait, back up. When you get veneers, do they just grind your original teeth down into little vampire teeth?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So they look fucking crazy.
You're like a little bat boy.
Yeah. The teeth are so not something that anyone should, that should never see the light of day.
Right.
And when the tooth cap, whatever it is off of them, the little vampire tooth, like if wind touches it, I feel
it hurts.
Like it's painful
because it's just close to your nerve. Your nerve is exposed.
I feel so naked and exposed as a human being too, because it's like just something that's not, the wind isn't supposed to touch. Guess how I actually broke this tooth though.
Are you doing stand up and it breaks? Are you masturbating?
No.
Are you doing something weird? Are you just cooking? Are you watching
TV? I kind of wish it was any of those things.
Right.
So they're like, you must have had some trauma to your face. And right when they said that, I was like, yeah, I did. I punched myself in the face during a boxing class. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Wait, like by accident? Or they're like, now punch yourself in the face 5 times. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Specifically you, Emma Willman, you talk too fucking much. But,
Love boxing classes. Wait,
me too.
So by accident, you just kind of swiped yourself a little?
So there's a comedian named Sergio Chacon who also does boxing one-on-one. So I was doing a one-on-one with him and we're buddies. So we were like talking and I remember being kind of tired. It's towards the end. And I was like, wait, what? And I was, you know that movie where it's like you're doing your fist fast on your face? And I was like, wait, what happened about something? And he said something. And I was like, what? And I clocked myself.
Shit.
Yeah. So,
like you can't get over it because it's like you can't even yell at anybody about
it. Yeah, who do I get mad at?
You're just looking in the mirror like you piece of shit, which we already do anyway.
Right, exactly. And it was like of all the times, and I had just lost my SAG insurance, so I didn't have any dental, and then I got it back like 2 weeks later. So
that's
it's like
a whole
emotional roller coaster.
Oh yeah, when I first got to LA, I told him like I had 7 cavities and like 4 root canals to do. And I was like, I don't even know. And I had to get like a care credit card, which is like specifically for dental work.
Yes, they were kind of starting to pitch that to me.
Yeah, and it took me like 10 years to pay it off for something like that.
Why do they do that instead of just give you a normal credit card?
Because I think it's specific with the interest. It's like the interest is lower because it's like medical, medical card. It's like an emergency card.
That makes sense.
Dude, that's hard. Tooth stuff is hard. Like,
tooth stuff
I have constant dreams about, because I have a couple like back ones.
ones that fall, like root canals that just kind of fall out randomly sometimes.
I don't even know what a root canal is.
Well, it's like when you're literally you have an infection on your root, so they have to like grind your tooth down to a little vampire tooth again. And then get a cap on it. So a cap is like a veneer, basically, okay. But not as fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I constantly have that problem where I'm like, oh, my teeth are going to fall out. Like, they totally. Say that that's a vanity thing when you have tooth dreams.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's ego, like vanity ego issues.
I'm trying to think if I've had a tooth dream where my tooth has fallen out. I'll have a dream.
Oh, just real life?
yeah. Just mine's just here in real life. I think I have a constant dream where I can't communicate and I'm with a bunch of people who everyone speaks a different language and there's a killer and I have to communicate who the killer is, but without the killer knowing.
Dude, that's a total stand-up. That's like a stand-up dream, don't you think?
Is it?
I mean, that's how I analyze it. I mean, I'm not a dream analyzer. Right, I don't have a certification, fair. But I feel like it's like you have to be the one that communicates to everyone.
Yes, that's true. I actually never thought about that.
Yeah, you know, like it has to go right. through you in order for it to be successful.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
A scary thing.
It is scary. And then also performing comedy at night is overwhelming. Is that what you feel overwhelmed about?
I think it is. Like, I didn't think I understood the pressure of it that I felt every day. Like, when I have a show tonight and I'm already like, like, I can't really relax tonight. Like, I can go home and have dinner and then I'm going to go back out the door. And I thought that I was going to be like better about self-care.
I learned it too.
Yeah.
And I couldn't relate more to that. Yeah. Like, I really couldn't relate. And I thought for me that it was because I was back in New York. So I was like, okay, this is like happening because I'm in New York and it's just New York is too much. But I actually have implemented some self-care stuff more. But the idea, once you have a show and then realizing all the nerves and everything that goes into it, even on like today's Tuesday, like it's like a show on a Tuesday.
Who cares? Like on a rooftop, literally.
Right. Like yeah. we're outside. We're in the elements. And yet just the something about that, there's just like, it's like your adrenaline and everything is focused on that. And it's a lot.
It is. And it's also like the fucking, you know, the rat race. Yes. Like you see all these people doing it. And, you know, I stopped comparing myself. I really did. Like it took me years of therapy.
Sure.
And then now it's like, well, everybody's up. I don't want to be one of the comics that's not up all the time totally. In my club and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, I really am so fucking over it. Like,
is there anything you can do to try to stop doing it? Because I had the same thing the other day. I had to talk myself off the cliff.
Yeah, I'm kind of like with this podcast, like I want it all get going. And
sure.
I want to take everything that I've learned like about myself and self-love. And then it's like fucking out the door. Out the door. Like literally, you know, when you take a cast off. And yes. The leg is all pale yep. and smaller than
that's
the other leg.
That's what your self-care is like?
That's me.
But
right
at least
now.
The self-care is there. At least is there and like open.
I don't know, man. I was doing Zumba every other day, like feeling so healthy, like feeling so rested. Like I'd go home, smoke a spliff, mm-hmm. cook a really nice dinner for
myself.
You
could have a routine. That was amazing. I love having routine and then also not looking around what other people are doing was like one of the most incredible things I've ever experienced.
I know, like the FOMO was like kind of gone. Mm-hmm. I really miss it. And I mean, this is all, by the way, we do it to ourselves.
It's like, 100%.
Why are we so masochistic?
Yeah, and also, because it also truly just doesn't matter. And there was this one person that I used to always get triggered by where I'd be like, this motherfucker, which is...
Oh, yeah, you got to mute. I muted so many people over
break. Gotta mute. You me gotta too. Mute. Yeah. I had muted, but then I was seeing them around New York. And then I was like, you know what? This has just so nothing to do with them. Compare and despair. And I gave myself a thing where I was like, I'm just going to let myself walk on this one block. And then any thought I have about this person, I just cannot have off this block. There's an actress who is in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Gabrielle Ruiz.
She's great.
She's great. Yeah. And she was like, that's what I do after an audition. I give myself the block to ruminate about the audition. So I have a block to like ruminate about someone that bothers me.
That's a whole other thing.
It's
like auditions
thing.
Is a whole other thing too. Don't even get me started. Because are you doing the self-tapes like at home?
I had been doing self-tapes and then I started going in and doing if I'm somewhere where I can go in and do it, I'll do it. But I started doing self-tapes and I got something through a self-tape. Thank God.
That's incredible. I've never, ever, ever.
You will. Someday. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When I got it through the self-tape,
because
I don't think I had gotten anything through an audition in like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
So when they were like, yes, when can you film? This was maybe 2 weeks ago. At first I was like, go fuck yourself. Like I didn't believe that it, you know what I'm saying? You'll get something through a self-tape.
I don't have the belief in it. And I think they're like, my agents are exhausted where I'm like, you guys, this is draining everything out of me. They're like, we don't know what to tell you. You just got to keep running through the mud and like hopefully some spaghetti sticks to the wall. You know?
But I feel like you just did a Pizza Hut commercial.
No, that was from like years and years and years ago. I posted because I talked about it on the podcast. My hair is like down to my waist.
Yeah, I got
confused. You thought it was a wig?
I didn't know what was going on.
What happened, Jay? Yeah. You look so young there. So supple. Was that from yesterday? No, 10 years ago. I told the story about how like they changed my call time. So I was like basically like all coked out from the night before. Oh, no. And I was like, and my hands are like, Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut. It was crazy.
They're like, she fucking loves this pizza.
Yeah, they're like, she is so excited about pizza. We went to somebody's house to deliver the pizza, and they were not Spanish, but they told me they were. So I'm like, hola! And they're all looking at me, and I'm like, they were not very friendly. And then I figured out at the end, it's because they were not Spanish at all.
Do you know what they were?
I have no idea.
Were they even people of color?
They were like, you know, maybe like Filipino, like a little tan.
Right. And so they fucked up, but then they put it on you.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, I think we all make it look very easy, but it's a lot because it's also like every time you do anything that's creative, it's a little bit of yourself. You know, it's a little bit of your heart. 100%
totally.
You know, and I think the only way I can compare it to people who are normies, my boyfriend hates it when I say normie, but normies, you know what I'm talking about? People that aren't giving their souls away every day. It's like, imagine you're doing an interview for a job that you really want, but like multiple times a day.
Right. Totally. And you're interviewing, and the job that you want is literally some version of you. It's not you're just like, I'm doing it for this, like, it's like you are the, I don't know, maybe normal people feel that way too, though. I don't know.
Maybe they do, like on an everyday basis, like if they don't do the right things, like they feel like, ugh. But you come from a really tiny town. We were like looking up your town. He told me the population, was it 2,500?
It is.
Is that too creepy that we know that?
No, but do you get weirded out when people know things about you? Because like, okay.
No, I like it.
Okay. Because sometimes I'll say something on like Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And someone will reference it. I'm like, how did you know that?
How did you find out? Oh, you told me.
Like you said it on your Instagram story. And I'm like, oh. Like that always, but yeah. That's 2,500 people. Blue Hill, Maine.
That's insane.
Tiny.
That's a tiny teeny. When did you figure out that you wanted to do stand-up?
Okay, so I was always interested in entertainment because it was like a window to a bigger world. And then when my parents got divorced, my dad got cable. So I started watching, I was like, oh my God.
Wait, did you not grow up with cable as a kid?
No, because my parents are such hippies.
Whoa.
Super hippie. Were your parents hippies at all?
Yeah, they were hippies, but I like lived in front of the TV.
I did too, once I got it.
Yeah.
Ooh, once I got it, I was like, I used to watch 106 in Park. Did you ever watch that?
No, I don't know what that
is. Oh my God. It was like TRL, but it was on BET and I was obsessed with it.
Okay. I do know that. I was obsessed. Yeah, I was like, Carson Daly, yum.
I didn't have a crush on him, but I loved him.
Like, I wanted to be him,
yes.
And then also kind of date him.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
All my boyfriends in high school, I felt like that was, like, the relationship a little bit. Which is, like, and then as I got older, I, like, put it together more. But I didn't even watch comedy until, I think, right after college. And then I knew I wanted to do something in entertainment. I just didn't know what. But I was thinking, I wonder if I knew what it was actually like to do entertainment, if I would still go for it. And yes, I would, I think. Do you feel that way?
Sometimes I go back and forth.
I go back and forth a lot.
Because it's been really difficult.
Yeah, and I know I'm catching you on a day when you're like, I'm so overwhelmed. Yeah.
Like, if you ask me that when I'm on stage holding a mic telling jokes, yes. Oh my God, yes. But everything else, I don't know, man. It's really self-destructive.
It's so self-destructive. Yeah. Also, it's easier for me to be combative right now because I'm in LA for 3 days. Three or 4 days, I'm not doing any shows. I'm seeing someone I've been dating, so I feel like I'm getting like space. So even not having a show last night and tonight and knowing I don't have one tomorrow, I feel great.
But isn't that crazy? It's like, all we want to do is get more shows, bigger. And then the second we have them, I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I just want to have a taco night.
Just a taco night. There was like two Tuesdays ago where I had three shows and the first one went great. So like I felt great for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows? And then I took a taxi over to the other one. And I was like, I don't care. Like whatever. And then that show didn't go well. And then I was really depressed and became hyper aware of what I was doing. And then I don't drink anymore. I wanted to get drunk. Like it was a mess.
Oh, so you're not drinking anymore. What's that? Is that a new thing?
I haven't been drinking for maybe like 6 or 7 months. And it's a long time. It's definitely like self-care because I used to use that as a buffer. I wouldn't really drink too much at comedy clubs, but I would use it as a buffer to like just life. Like it was like, there was so many habits I had that just like weren't like now my big one that is healthy is getting my steps in. Do you get steps?
Yeah, I gotta change it. Yeah, I got to the point where I was like obsessed with working out. That was like kind of but I'm a total pothead. Like if I don't smoke too many days in a row, ooh boy.
What happens?
I don't know. I black out. I literally just go through these points of like, what happened? It's been 4 days. Like I feel so bad for my partner. Honestly, like he smokes with me. Yeah. Like, but we quit drinking like really
for a
while. And that's when he got like the 12 pack.
Yeah.
Like, but it does help. Drinking does make me like a little bit depressed.
Drinking is a depressant. And also I noticed I would get like irritated because I would drink at least something almost every night. And then on 4 or 5 days, like my coping skills, which are already similar to your way you describe yours, like the muscles not worked. Me having the pause time to like think and process and health and coping skills. you know, the muscle's very small. The muscle
is
this
tooth. I feel like we should go through like COVID every once in a while. Like, we need to take these months off. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm surprised you're like brave enough to say that.
Is that horrible? I don't know. I don't want like thousands of people to die. I don't want people to lose their parents.
No, of course. But COVID without the COVID.
Yeah. Like, I need the universe to take breaks. I mean, that way we work with pollution.
Sure.
That way we take mental breaks. Because like, honestly, if before the pandemic you told me like, hey, nobody's going to be performing, you're not going to be performing, you should just take a break, I still wouldn't have done it.
Oh, likewise.
Yeah.
Totally.
It takes a pandemic and complete isolation for me to like take care of myself. That seems like a crazy thing.
It's totally I mean, also it's like, you know, it's a built-in boundary, which we don't have with in the arts, quote unquote. There's no built-in boundary because it's like you could always be doing something somewhere,
always be editing a fucking video to put on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you mind watching your stand-up or does it make you cringe?
I hate listening to my voice.
I love your voice.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I fucking, when I listen to my voice, I'm like,
Well, what do you want it to be more like? Like, do you want to like, you're like, I want more of a deeper tone voice.
I don't know, actually. Maybe it's not my voice so much as like what I say. Like, it's just also with my material, sometimes I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, I fucking heard this. Like,
But so nobody's heard it.
That's true.
I have the same feeling.
I forget.
I know.
That
like,
sometimes.
I hate even when like this weekend, one guy from the earlier show came to the later show, and I kept thinking every time I would do a joke, I'd be like, "That's like I literally only focus on the one fucking guy."
And he's like, "I really like you, and I wanted to see another show." And you're like, "Well, you know, go, like, what the fuck's your problem then? Like, honestly, you're just trying to ruin everything for
but
me."
But I'm like that. I'm like, you know, you don't have to come see my show.
Yeah, don't come to the
I'm
show.
I'm like, you could go to dinner.
Yeah, there's so many other things you could do that don't. And then also online, you're like, "Guys, come to my show, please come to the show."
Yeah.
But no one I know, like, don't come if there's any, like, accountability. Yeah, I had a couple that stayed for a later show, too. And I was like, I just want you guys to know that sometimes comedians repeat some of their material. And they're like, okay.
We don't owe them anything.
We don't. And yet, and I did kind of switch it around for them. But I was, like, kept, like, looking up. And they were fucking hammered, too. Like, they were, like, just so drunk. And they were trying to hook up. And I was, like, just internalizing them being like, yeah, clearly she's not as prolific a writer. You know,
we know this joke. We've heard it.
We thought she was one thing, but she's clearly not. Like, this is a big mistake. Like, you're not a good... And I wanted to just be like, yeah, writing's a long, tedious process.
Which
it's
brings,
hard.
Brings you to the huge question. Mm. For comics, like, the egg or the chicken came first. Like, were we born these super insecure, crazy, manic people who need validation from strangers? Or, like, did we develop that as a coping mechanism for whatever trauma happened to us as a kid?
I really don't know. And I wonder about that. But I do know if I can say I've had the clear moments of, I don't know if it's clarity or introspection or what, but I've had these like piercing moments of like, I don't know, insight into dysfunction where I sincerely believe that if I hadn't had this one stepmom that I had for years, it was between the ages of eighth grade and high school. If I hadn't had that stepmom and she was so awful to me, I don't think I would have done stand-up because I don't think I would have been so comfortable being uncomfortable. And I was an overweight kid. So I was overweight.
See, fat kid, we were talking about that.
Were you ever fat kid?
No, but I was super skinny. I had like the opposite.
And
like,
people
I was
mean about that.
Yeah. Like, that's. Yeah, maybe that is a thing.
It's a thing because you're comfortable, not comfortable, but you're used to the discomfort of being an outsider.
I'm comfortable in rejection.
I'm so comfortable in rejection.
Sometimes I have a hard time even picturing the good thing because 100%. I'm like, I know how this is going to go.
Yep.
And that's not good. I really believe in energy and like
Me
putting
too.
Out vibration. So
yes.
But then I get into the like, oh, I ruined this because I'm already thinking bad thoughts. Like,
I feel so scared because I have a continual bad thought that I feel like I'm constantly manifesting. I have this vision of myself. This is bad. Drunk in Florida at the seedy fucking bar watching a TV. And there's some fucking heinous person next to me like chain smoking and I'm trying to bum a cigarette. And there's someone on TV. And for some fucking reason, I turn. I'm like, oh, I used to work in entertainment. Like I used to be managed by Barry Katz one time. And they're like, who's that? I'm like, doesn't fucking matter. And then I take a bunch of shots and then want to go die under a bridge.
And then I'm like, hey, you want another drink? I fucking bartend at the bar.
Jane? Oh my God.
Yeah, remember when I used to bartend at the comedy store? Right. Yeah, I got back into it.
Oh, good. And then we both are like, you know, but I picture that fear and then I'm like, oh, I'm manifesting the fucking fear. And
yeah.
I get
but the thing
scared.
Is like, we're already not that. You know, I think that's something we have to remember.
Right.
Like,
and that maybe be okay. Maybe it wouldn't even be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. It's like, maybe that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Maybe you were starting for a part. I mean, who knows?
True.
And then you add fucking our eggs and babies and like that timeline for us. And it's like, yeah. Guys ever have to think about this shit?
Do you think you want to have kids?
lately, like, I want to say for the last, like, few days, I do. It's a new development, everybody. Wait, what get me pregnant already.
What about the...
Okay, this what is what
about,
happened.
What about the last few days made you want to have a baby? Okay, because I thought you were having a breakdown the last few days.
Okay, maybe that's part of it.
Right. I get a baby in
you
here.
You gotta get a baby. Well, you know, like, if you have a pregnancy past the age of 34, they call it a geriatric pregnancy.
Damn.
So that's sounds like, yikes. Harsh. I'm a few years past that.
Right.
The soul of a 17-year-old, and honestly, my asshole is as tight as a 15-year-old.
God bless.
Not that I see a lot of assholes that young, but I feel it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. My hair is virginal, and so is, like, the deep inside of my butthole.
I am such a huge proponent of doing butt stuff to people. It's yeah. what I feel sets me apart as a lover. If I can humbly say there's ever an opportunity for me to be set apart as a lover, I feel that when I vibe best with someone, I need to have access to doing butt stuff.
I agree. Butt stuff's great. Mm. I just don't know that I want like a penis going in.
I've only done that where I put... that was a good penis impression. I put... I'll do tongue, fingers on someone's butt. I've only used a strap on someone's butt. I think I, the person
do you
that,
have a butt strap on and a pussy strap
no,
on?
No, I was using like a full blown like kind of like normal cock size strap on, but this person I had already been fucking them in the butt with, you know, that sex toy, the rabbit.
Of course. What?
Yeah, well, I was putting that in her ass.
I grew up with Sex in the City. How dare you?
Right. So which I've actually never even watched an episode of that show.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh my God. It's like the only show that I've seen like... there was an episode the other day where she was really upset about this guy having a tiny dick. Made me laugh so hard. It's still really funny because it's so inappropriate.
Sure.
And it's like these women that are clearly like in their 40s right. playing like, you know, broke 20-year-olds right. in New York. Right. How did you pick your strap on? Because I have a couple lesbian friends and they have a fight about this all the time. They're a married couple. They've been together for a long time. One of them is like the bottom is like, I want you to have a smaller dick. Like, cause I just, you know, like I'm into it's women and it's more right. comfortable for me. And like, I'm good with it. He hits my G spot. Then my friend who's the top, she's a tall girl. And she's like, well, it looks weird when I have a tiny dick. And when I imagine my dick, this is how big it is. So they have to have like nights where it's the tiny dick and the big dick. They have to like switch it out.
Interesting.
How did you pick yours? Is it like the color of your skin?
I got fucking tons of them. So the most recent person my last relationship, we weren't sexual for like, I'd say after like a couple months, we like just stopped having sex.
That's not fun.
It's not fun. And sex is indicative of so many other things. So this time around with relationship stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to not deny the fact that I'm kinky. I'm not going to deny that sex is super important to me, but all my kinky sexual relationships, okay, they're in one bracket. This is part of the self-care stuff I kind of was learning about with COVID. Yeah. Kinky sexual relationships, one bracket. Spiritual relationships, another bracket. And I never put them together, which was a way to avoid intimacy. And so then now I'm like, I have to have the and where I can like talk to the person and it's spiritual and good, but they're also super kinky to the point where I was like, I want them to exist on like, for lack of a better term, I mean, with full respect to the term, Horror Island without me.
Yeah.
I want them to be like, I'm on Horror Island. I'm like looking at porn. Like you do whatever it is about you. I'm not into this stuff because of you. I like it myself. If there was a zombie apocalypse, I want the girl's third thought to be, how am I going to get fucked? Do these zombies
have
dicks?
She's just coming towards you?
Yeah. These zombies have dicks because I need to get banged out.
She's going to be one of those zombies that ends up in like a leather outfit. And yes. That's who she is for the rest of her zombie life.
Yes, that's what I want. But so this time I have a bunch of different ones because we've been doing it was like me trying to get comfortable with having them again.
Yeah,
but I kind of think for your friends it's probably whoever is getting penetrated should pick the size of it, and then to build the bridge they do some type of play. Maybe she could like jerk her off or like sit in her lap with her.
I feel like they just gotta pick a straw.
You
like
think?
Whatever night, yeah, because it's like, here we go, baby.
Oh, and trade back and forth.
Yeah, you gotta just like, it's part of the fun. Like, and now we roll the dice to see how big my dick is tonight. Right.
We got a hole. Now, do they do butt stuff? Because I feel like a lot of lesbians don't do butt
stuff.
No,
they don't do butt stuff. Yeah. None of my lesbian friends trib either or scissor.
Wait, what's trib?
Tribbing is like basically just rubbing your clits together.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know how to name.
Yeah, so that's like the kind of porn I watch.
Oh,
I love
trib porn.
I never
watched lesbian porn. You couldn't pay me.
What?
And you don't know how much porn I watch. Let me tell you the amount of fucking porn I watch. Fucking, I watch like so much. I've been watching muscle bear daddy porn.
I like that too.
I love that too. There's this muscle bear. Yeah. There's some kind of muscle bear thing I just came across, and the daddy is so convincing and authentic in it. Give this man a fucking award. I sincerely believe
I love that.
He cares for any one of those little guys he's pounding out, and he is a star.
Yeah,
he
if you don't care about the butthole you're pounding, it's like, why am I watching this?
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan.
Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
I love, it's all about the desire and the energy and make it verbal. And this man, I've come to this man like maybe like 42 times.
Wow. You know what? Have you ever felt like when you meet someone, like I met, I won't say the name, but like a heartthrob from the 90s. And I was like, I just have to tell you, like I masturbated to you so much. Like, but like so many important times, you know what I mean? Like some of the first times.
Right. Oh,
like,
formative.
I was like, I think I might've had an orgasm to you. Like you were the first guy, one of the first guys. And he was like, I get that a lot.
Really?
He was like, I get that a lot. It was Andrew Keegan, okay? It was Andrew Keegan.
I don't know who that is.
What? Cap Nowhere?
I know that name. I know Andrew Keegan name. Yeah. I know Cam Nowhere name.
No, he's so cute. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's funny because I also had some porn stars that I was like fans of. I became like Jenna Hayes was like one of my favorite porn stars. I know that name.
She's got like a really...
That's Andrew Keegan right there.
Oh, sure. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in so many things.
And such a sweetheart.
Yes,
ever met Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I would feel uncomfortable because I was so into him.
Like, I love Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I love
Where
him.
Where is he? What does he do
I
now?
I know exactly what he's up to.
Okay, tell me. I know. Did he go to Harvard?
He went to Harvard and then he's like owns a business. And that's actually all I know. But I think he's married and I love him. I love that for him that he fucking went to Harvard after still being Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like where he lives, like I'd love to swing by.
I'd love to
see what's going by. Love an update.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. Hey, do you still have that bowl haircut? Because that really worked for me.
Yeah, back in the day. I don't know if he's on Instagram, but.
No, I've looked.
He isn't?
No, I've looked. Or it's like a super hidden name, but I'm constantly like trying to connect.
Totally.
You know? Just to see like, where are they now? I miss that show. They should do that show again. Where are they now?
I loved Where Are They Now? Yeah. I did a deep dive on, because also the other thing too is with social media now, we're used to being able to keep tabs on people that we have no business keeping tabs on.
Exactly.
So we feel the rug is pulled out from under us with, you know, these people that were in our lives and now we're like, where's the update? Also with social media over COVID, we had so much time to be just like, I was just on Instagram and TikTok a lot. And now what if I try to have it's fucking up my Instagram TikTok schedule, having to be out and about.
It's so much work. It's just so much work. I watched a documentary the other day. Do you know who Cameron Dallas is?
No.
Have you ever heard him? Do you know him? So I never knew these kids, by the way. They're like the super famous kids on YouTube. Like, and they became famous. YouTube first started. Like, sure. And when Instagram first started.
And that's like mega, mega, mega fame in a way that I think we just missed like being like inundated with that.
If I put anything that's comedic and it's not my ass or my tits, forget it. Barely any likes. But like, so he figured out how to do this thing called MagCon, which is a meet and greet con, where like these huge fans of theirs would come and they would do like a concert where they're all kind of like singers too. Mm-hmm. They bring a DJ. And I'm talking about like Listomania, like just hundreds and thousands of kids, like screaming girls, like, oh my God. And they all like these virtual boyfriends for these girls. Hmm. I was so fascinated by the whole thing because I'm on this like whole kick of like misogyny and how like I finally understand how it's like affected me and suppressed me as a comedian. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, if fucking girls did that, we'd be called sluts because it's like basically like, if we're girlfriends to guys, you know what I mean?
So they will explicitly say we're like your boyfriends?
No, but they'll like go take a photo with them and they'll like kiss him on the cheek and do these photos where they're like around him. And then they'll like talk to them like, you helped me get through like the suicide and blah, blah, blah and all this stuff. Like they have these intimate relationships.
I feel like they have no, that's like if they have to be that way. You know what I mean? Like they like, they're probably maybe not, it's like playing boyfriend. I don't know.
It's a weird, creepy thing. Yeah. With that also, they take a lot of their, like the fans' bullshit onto
sure,
them.
Sure, absolutely.
But it was just like, the whole thing was so fascinating because they do these things and they meet like 400 women in one day.
Damn, that's
exhausting.
Crazy.
Exhausting. So all these dudes are just like drained and like the tour managers keep quitting because they're like, the kid threw food at me again. Because they're like teenagers, you know? Right. And they're making more money than anybody I know.
Can't even fucking imagine. And this was in real life or it was all virtual?
this is all real life, the meeting, the meet and greets were like these huge, like where the venues were like couldn't even take the capacity of people, and they're like badly produced, so girls are like getting crushed in the audience and stuff. Like I've never loved someone that I would get crushed.
I wonder,
like,
if,
do you like, would you ever stand in line?
I don't know. If we found out Jonathan Taylor Thomas was downstairs right now, I feel like I wouldn't even need to hit you or you, but I'd like hit you on the way out.
But just, you know,
like,
what?
Get
don't
over
you,
it.
But don't you want to be cool? Like, you don't want to be one of those like, ah! You want to be like, hey, what's up?
I think if Jonathan Taylor Thomas was, no, I would run down to go find him.
JTT, squirt, squirt, babe.
I'd be like, just to be like, I got so starstruck. I remember when I saw Ashanti, that's what someone who did it for me. Only because it was so like, I feel like with comedians, okay, now I've seen, you know, I like, you see, like just the other night at The Cellar, there was Sebastian and
I love
Ray
Sebastian.
Romano. Actually, I haven't told this story anywhere and this just happened.
Ooh, fun.
So Sebastian, it was Saturday night and I was like killing time. So I'm like sitting at this back, the back table. The upstairs at The Cellar now, they do shows at it.
Oh, cool.
So it's cool. It's loud though. So it's not like a table where you can like sit and hear people. So I see Sebastian come in and they like put him, he's like sitting right next to me. And he makes a comment about the coffee. And I was like, oh yeah, something about coffee. Pause. I've like replayed this a lot.
Yeah.
So my manager Reg used to work with his manager Judy. So I said, I work with Reg who used to work with Judy. And he said, oh, nice to meet you. I'm Sebastian. And I was like, mm-hmm. And he was like, it's like, good to meet you, Reg. And then I was like, oh, because it was really loud. And I was like, oh, he thinks I just said my name was Reg. And so then my face like just turning beet red. And I was like, actually, my name's Emma. And I was like, but I work with Reg. And he was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, but, you know, the transgender community thanks you for being so cool with that exchange. And then him and I both giggled. And I was like, in my head. And then I was like, it was so great to meet you. And he was like, bye, Reg. I mean, Emma. And I was like, bye.
Bye. We have
and
a thing. We have a little
thing. We have a thing. Yeah. And then I left and was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Because I love him too.
Me too.
I'm
that's my number
fucking
one.
Fan.
That's
he's my number so, one. I love his physicality. I think he's so fucking funny. And yeah, we're together now.
I love him. Reg and I, that's
I
so funny
him.
To have like a little moment, you know?
I was starstruck by him, but it wasn't like I would have screamed. Or like also, you'll see like, you know, just comedians, for some reason, they don't make me have a visceral reaction.
Right.
But Ashanti, I saw her backstage somewhere and she went by in a little golf cart. And it was...
like you felt it. You're like,
I felt it. And it was backstage, so it's like really not where you're supposed to freak. Because it's like...
You're supposed to be backstage. It's supposed to be like, hey, if you've crossed this line, you're cool.
Right.
But
I saw her go by in the golf cart and I, like, kind of at the speech she was going by, I was like, I'm a huge fan. You're going to be great. This is absolutely awesome. I'm so happy to get to see you while she was, like, going. And she didn't stop and she didn't look. And I was like, you really are going to be great. Like, I, like, big fan.
I want to animate that. Just like, okay, bye.
Nothing. And then the security guard just looked at me and went, really? And I was like, I grew up, you know, watching her. And
have you felt people be starstruck with you? Like, have you ever felt somebody looking at you and you can tell that they recognize you, but like they don't want to say anything?
It's happened like a small handful of times, and it is really weird. It's just such an interesting energy, and I so appreciate it. But I want to be like, whatever you think it is, it's not that. Like, there's no reason to be this excited. But I understand, because when you see someone mediated, like through media, then it's like they stop. I went to school for media studies and I didn't learn a lot, but I remembered them talking about things like this.
Yeah.
I know that's not helpful.
But haven't you had that thing where they look at you and they like, they think they recognize you from like life, and then they realize like, oh no. And you're like, hey, it's just me, dude.
It's just me.
Yay.
Have you ever thought someone was recognizing you from TV, but then they weren't, but you were like, oh, I was actually like on TV. And then they were like, no, I just.
They're like, actually, you're sitting on my jacket. Yeah. Could you move? You're
right.
Like, oh, sorry.
Have you had that happen before?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Where I've said thank you to someone too quickly. Like before they even say the thing, they're like, actually, I just, you unlocked the door. So I just needed you to lock it back up.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah, that happened. This person, they were looking at me. They're like, do I know you from somewhere? And I was like, I did this like web thing recently. Or I was on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And they were like, you were at Newark last week. And I was like, I was at Newark last week. Yeah, I was. And they were like, okay, that's what it was. And I was like, all right.
I also have that thing where if I see a person like once, even in passing, and I like acknowledge it, I'll recognize them forever.
Just
and then
a
I
face
always
person?
Literally like a face. I'm just like, bink. And I think men don't have that, because Cam oftentimes will be like, is that the same girl as that girl? I'm like, totally different women.
So
totally
I do
different
what
women.
He does. I do that too.
Really?
Yeah, I do that too. It's not good. It's not good. It's
like
really
a facial
bad.
Recognition thing. I just
it's a big problem because it sometimes can come across as real problematic. You know what I mean?
Well, but you don't mean to. You know, I'm
don't mean to, but it can be
sometimes with names. It can be hard. But I'm one of those people like, hey, I'm so sorry, I forget your name. Like, I'm such a pothead. Like, just tell it to me.
Yeah, that's a good way to throw. Maybe I'll start saying it's because I'm dyslexic. I'll be like, I'm so sorry, I'm dyslexic.
I was in special ed. Blame it on something.
Give too much info, so they feel bad for me.
Wait, you were in special ed? Tell us about that.
I mean,
because I was ESL.
You were?
Yeah, English as a second language, which is basically the same thing.
But you were in ESL?
Yeah, because I didn't speak any English when I moved from Brazil.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. We didn't have ESL in rural Maine because it wouldn't have applied.
Yeah, the half a person who's an immigrant there. There wasn't. So were there no?
None. Not a one that I knew of.
Wow, not that's a one. So fun.
When I mean, maybe some move.
Who was like the first ethnic person you met? Was it a moment? Like, were there any black people?
There's two black kids at my elementary school. Oh, and Anthony and his brother, they were twins, adopted twins. And then in high school, Sebastian and Danny, and Keisha and LaKeisha. And I think
Keisha
that was
and
it.
LaKeisha?
Yeah.
Are they also related?
Not related at
all. Okay, I was going to say, I was like, mom really needs to veer out.
Stacked it against them. Yeah, exactly. Keisha and LaKeisha.
LaKeisha, MaKeisha, FaKeisha.
There was Keisha and LaKeisha. And I swear to God, I think that was maybe it. Wow. But I remember, and there was a kid, Roger, a town over. But I remember one summer driving down a hill, and I saw a woman of color like walking up the hill. And I was just like, it stuck out to me so much. And I called my mom and was like, this is such a weird thing for me to even note. And she was like, I know Nancy. Like, yes, Nancy just called me. She actually works at the store up the street. She's like, do you see a black woman walking on the street? And I was like, I did. It was just interesting in Maine. She's like, yeah, she works at the store. And I was like, okay, not anything in any direction. And then that was the conversation.
But can you imagine like the pressure? Like when you're one of those few people, like, oh, Jesus.
I can't even. I mean, she was probably like, what the fuck? But I remember then when I went to college, I felt like I knew that I didn't know anything about race. So I wasn't coming in with like preconceived. I was like, I'm a white idiot. Like,
how
do I deconstruct this?
Teach. Where did you go to school?
Simmons. And then it's Simmons in Boston. I went to grad school in New York at the New School. But I don't remember. I didn't learn anything. I'm an idiot.
I went to Emerson. Yeah. I'm like, I think I breathed a lot.
I wanted to go to Emerson so fucking bad.
Dude, it was a good school for me because I was just figuring out like a lot of sexuality stuff and a lot of creativity stuff. And it like really, I don't remember learning anything except just like hustle. Like the business of acting was really.
So you studied acting.
Yeah, I studied. Mm. I went for, it was like, I wanted to do musical theater. Really, that was my first passion.
Wow.
But
I used to fucking hate musical theater.
I'm gonna make you sing, so you
no
better
offense
get ready.
And full respect. But I used to fuck. I don't know what it is. I just
people either love it or hate it. Yeah, it's like one of those like things. Cilantro. There's not like meh. I feel medium about it. It's like I love it so fucking much. Like I hear spoken words singing. Something happens to like my nipples get hard immediately.
Really?
Yeah, I'm releasing my special as a musical.
That could actually be totally incredible.
So I hope it's good.
That could we'll be see. Yeah. That could be really doing a that really could be incredible. And I appreciate musical theater. Like I love going to see a play. I mean, I was on set at Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but that was re-triggering some of the trauma of elementary school when I would get in trouble for not singing because like they tried to have me in a dance number and because of dyslexia, I had to get cut. And it was a dance number with fucking kids. So the kids were doing it. And I, because it's like left, right, flying choreographer, couldn't do it. So I got cut. So
but you
I
know
fucking
what?
Hate musical
theater. They got to teach you in a different way. Like, that's what it is. Like, it shouldn't always be numbers. Well, you just had a shit teacher.
She was actually really amazing and like specialized with working with like people that like don't know how to dance and have like learning disability. Like, she was absolutely incredible. So it was like, oh, if you can't with her, then. And she was also teaching the kids. And like, I was supposed to literally just go like left, right, right. And I was like knocking into the kids. It was like a lot of pressure.
But at least you know what it is. Like now that you know what the trauma is, can't we start to like pull it away from the brain? I saw this thing the other day. It was so like, it was like a Facebook bullshit video. Mm. But it was like a mom with two little kids. And she takes a piece of paper. And she's like, okay, bully this piece of paper. Say mean things to this piece of paper. Mm. So they'd be like, you're fat. And she would like crumple it. You know, and every bad thing she would crumple until the piece of paper was just crumpled up in a little ball. And then she goes, okay, now apologize to this piece of paper. And she opens it back up and it's all wrinkled. And she goes, this is why you don't say mean things. This is why you don't bully. Because like we're all just wrinkled up pieces of paper trying to figure out how to like smooth ourselves out.
That was beautiful.
Isn't that kind of I was like, wow, this would work. I would teach my kid that.
I wonder if there's a way that you could apply that to feeling less stressed about doing stand-up again, where it's like feeling all the pressure, like take all the pressure of stand-up and acting auditions and put them on that paper and then open it up. But then I guess it'd be like, fuck.
It's all. Yeah, no, but my thing is like I shot a short film this week and I haven't been on
fantastic.
Set. Yeah, and it was so exciting. But then I went home and was watching Mayor of whatever, like the Kate Winslet show, was incredible. Mm-hmm. So good. Everyone's so good. And I just couldn't stop the negative thoughts of like, you were shit this weekend.
You know what it could be too? You're bad. Also the high of being on set, because I got really depressed after. I mean, this sounds like,
you go,
I mean,
whoop.
Just so we're clear, we're really not trying to be assholes and all of this. We're so lucky to be on set for something. But
we're so lucky.
After I was on set, I felt really depressed. Like, it was like the supercharge of the filming and like the structure of the schedule and everything. And then afterwards, I was like, wait. And then you start rethinking. You know what I mean?
I was like, I was garbage. And then, of course, like the first few times that I did it for the wide, like I couldn't get the lines. And it's so much pressure and it's quiet. And we were working with a kid, so we like only had enough time. And I feel like I found it, and in the edit, it will be good. But like,
and that's acting. People can't get the lines in acting. I mean, people like retake acting. Like
exactly.
Every single person. Like you could see a confident actor being like, line, and then they get the line. The first time I saw someone do that, I was like, I didn't know we were allowed to do that.
Oh yeah, the script is there for you. But I just, I have like, I need to let go of the perfectionism thing. I don't know where it stems from. I think it's because I didn't speak the language. I think that's my trauma, right?
Could be.
I didn't speak the language. It's like, I couldn't do any of it. Now that, and I had some things that I could really do well, and those things like really kept me afloat. Mm. But I got to fucking let it go, because it's like, I think I need to be more vulnerable. Crippling. It's crippling. It's crippling at this point. Like, I'm so anxious all the time. Like, I'm not enjoying any of this fun stuff.
With stand-up, I'm so anxious all the time, and I feel like a fraud, and I'm 100% convinced my chakras are blocked.
This is good.
I have no doubt my chakras are all fucked up.
You've got bad chi.
And I think that's part of it. I think that my chakras are blocked, so I'm not being authentic, and I'm not being my true self. I don't even care what I'm talking about, and I need to unblock them.
I know. Like, are you doing new material? I'm doing a lot of old material now, and I don't care anymore. I just have to change it to like, so I'm at a party the other day.
Yeah. Sore subject in the heart about the new material.
Oh,
yeah, I mean,
sorry.
I'm trying.
Sorry.
No,
I know.
No, not at all.
Because for
I'm
me,
trying.
I haven't talked to anyone. And like,
yeah.
For me, I'm trying to write new material.
I'm trying
but it's
so
like,
hard.
Can I not do all COVID material?
It's
like,
so hard. Oh. I'm trying so hard to write new material.
Me too.
And it's like really, I'm trying. It's hard. And I don't have an opener to address how I look. So I'm using like old openers, and then maybe I don't even need to. But
I know. Well, we all have that thing. It's like, everybody thinks I'm a Jew. That's
Maybe that's what I should start opening with.
Hey,
just
everybody
really
thinks
throw
I'm
them
a Jew.
Off, and they'll be like,
do
what?
They?
And I'll be like, that's what I thought you guys thought anyway. So what do you think it was that made you want to have a baby?
My niece being born.
Oh.
Yeah. And then also in this movie, there was a girl who played my daughter, and she looked.
Oh, God.
And she was wearing an outfit that was just like, we like matched, and she looked just like me. And like, there was a studio teacher.
Of course you wanted to have a baby.
Yeah, so.
You were playing having a baby in that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So then, and like, in between takes, she'd be like, can I tell you something? And then she would, like, whisper, and she'd be like, you're so pretty, let's cuddle later. And I was like, oh, my God. It was, she's, like, four, so it wasn't, like, creepy. He's, Dylan's giving me a face, like, why does this baby want to cuddle with
the
you?
The cuddle?
But they're cute. They're like, you know, she looked older than she is too. So
he's not into it.
He's not into
it at all.
He's
not into that at all.
We know why Dylan doesn't want to have kids, because the cuddling, I guess. He hates touching sweet little children. I guess, well, that sounded weird. So yeah.
No, but it's like a sweet little baby.
No, it's just a sweet little baby. I guess women have
a
different
now we're
dynamic.
Definitely digging
now we're digging.
Like, no, just a little kid.
A little kid. JTT, little kid. Whoa.
A sweet, innocent little baby. You know, okay. All right.
Hey, we get it. But I feel like that's why, like, it was so sweet. And like, she was like, what's a rehearsal? And I was like, it's when you practice at once. And she like got it. She was like, we're rehearsing. And it was just like so interesting to like
is
see
that
her
normal
take it
development
on.
For a four-year-old for her to not know that, or was she kind of slow?
No, I mean, she's on set crushing
okay,
it
okay,
you know
okay.
what I mean I mean,
so she should know at rehearsal. It sounds like she's been a little manipulative bitch trying to cuddle.
No, dude, I love her. She just wanted to cuddle and tell me I was pretty, and that's all I ever want to do.
That
so.
Does raise a red flag to me, actually.
Because you guys are both against the kid now?
No, it's just like, what does she mean? What's rehearsal?
Well, because like, she didn't know what a rehearsal was.
But she's on set. How does she not
well,
know?
Well, this is like her first film. She's 4 years old. This was her first big film.
Okay. I don't know.
It was a lot. She had to wear a wig. I had to, like, so the whole movie is about, it's called Condition. So it's like, the whole thing is about, like, how this girl grew up with her mom being like, you need to be pretty and you need to put together for church. And, like, she cuts her hair as a kid and the mom is like, don't ever do this again. You know, and then she basically ends up, like, you know, shaving her head at the end. But it's supposed to be a secret. But I don't know if it's supposed
Short
to be a secret.
Film?
Short film. Yeah. But it's really beautiful, and the girl who wrote it is like so cute.
That's
and,
awesome.
Really excited. My friend directed it. But
That's
yeah, just
great.
Getting back into that rhythm is so exciting. But yeah, the anxiety and the doubt that comes
sure.
with it, I'm having a hard time. And then I'm talking to my manager, and he's like, do you have someone you can talk to? I'm like, you!
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
dude!
Right. That's never good when someone's like,
you're the one
like,
who told me to do this fucking podcast! Right. I'm spitting everywhere, but it's true. It's like,
shout outs.
They want you to do it all, and they're like, oh, but we can't help you actually
right.
do it.
Right.
We just want to make you do it.
I think about that too, where I'm like, or and I was trying to think about like prioritizing stuff. I have a friend, Justin, who's really like good about reading self-help books, which is the best of all the worlds because it's like I get the self-help sound bites, but I don't have to do the work, which is a big fan of that type of situation.
Which is kind of not doing it, which is, it's going to come back to
totally. Haunt you. Totally. 100% not doing it. Also, you then know? I'm like paraphrasing things and saying them wrong. I'm like, I think it was Gandhi that said like a milkshake brings the boys to the yard. Like, it gets all askew. But he said in this book he read that I don't remember what the name of it was about, okay, you're right, fuck. But he said what? It was like about prioritizing your like immediate things, you're not, this is how bad my life skills are, that this is like hard for me to get out. Okay, you've got your immediate stuff, it's supposed to be a grid, immediate stuff, not immediate stuff. And then there were two other grids and I don't remember them. But the point is, figuring out your priorities and being like, what do I need to do right now that goes in line with, you're supposed to have like your two big goals and then your five daily goals and then figure out what goes in the grid to meet the big and daily goals.
This is so, I feel like that's another to-do. Like it is another adding to my to-do list.
But it's the biggest to-do, it's the biggest do. So you do this and then all your other to-dos are supposed to fall. Cause like mine was like, I wanna be healthier, I wanna look better and feel better than I ever have. Fine, okay. One, and then the other one is like, I got to figure out, I want to do an hour special. So to do that, I need to get my chakras unblocked. I need to figure out some other stuff.
So it's like all the other goals have to go towards that top goal. I see what you mean.
Exactly.
I got taught this thing that really helps me, making action lists instead of making like let's say making a special is your thing. Right. Like that's a very like haunting.
But even saying that now, I'm like, well, maybe that's not my goal. I don't even know. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say stay healthier. Okay. Right. Yeah. Instead of like, okay, I'll do this one. This is easy. Like do laundry. Sometimes that can be overwhelming, right? Yeah. You have to collect all the laundry throughout your house. If you don't have one in your unit, you have to get the quarters together. There's all this stuff.
Self-questioning of why am I living in a place without fucking laundry in my house? Then or if you do have laundry, you're like, I'm paying too much for this fucking laundry. I like rent. I don't own. I'm 35. What the fuck?
I also go through that rent own situation all the time. I was just in Virginia. I saw a house. It was like four bedrooms for like 200 grand. I was like, what is this?
What am I doing?
So the action list is like, get laundry together. Like it's one physical like action thing that you do that's very little. So you can feel like the satisfaction of like crossing it off the list. No, like I like crossing lists.
I love crossing lists. What like, yes, exactly. Like hearing you say get laundry together, like that should, I should be like, yeah. Like, but it's in my head. It's like, I feel my brain being like,
well, you live in New York, by the way. I don't know how you live. Living in New York is so difficult. I lived there for many years. Yeah.
I like LA more, but I have a laundry in my unit. I have a great apartment situation.
Are you in Harlem still?
No, I'm in the Lower East Side right next to Katz's Deli and it's fucking awesome.
Oh, I know exactly where
it's
you are.
It's such a great location and I've got the washer dryer in the unit. So I'm doing a fuck tons of laundry. So laundry on the list isn't the problem. Folding the laundry is a big issue. Streamlining my, because there's this other book that Justin read called The War of Art. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't heard of it.
See, I could really confidently bullshit about what the book was about, but since I was honest about saying I hadn't read it, and I don't want to lie to you guys. It's about overcoming resistance and procrastination. Ugh.
And that made me lazy just hearing the fucking.
And that's what the author says. He's like, these things that like live inside us, you need to just like do the work. I mean, I guess you don't need to read a book to tell you to do that.
You know what I need? I need a fucking assistant. Yeah, that would be nice. That's what I need. And this is the problem. I'm such a micromanager that I would be like, no, do it this way. Do that way. But I'm hoping that Emerson will guide me with an intern. That's what I'm trying to do.
Trust that person.
You have to.
You can't control everything. You have to give up control.
That's a tattoo I need to get on my fucking face.
Amen. Like, totally.
If I could just let go of control.
Could you imagine? I mean, honestly, though, I wonder if like for a little bit, like that would probably really center you if you had the tattoo on your face because it'd be like, no, it's a bad idea. Never mind. Sorry.
Well, I got you tattooed on me, você in Portuguese with my mom's handwriting here just to be like, look, it's cool. You just worry about you.
Yes.
You just worry about you.
Yes.
And I hate when people have like breathe or no or like passion, you know, whatever.
I get it.
But it really was this thing. Like I look at it, I'm like, okay, just
and
chill.
I love that spot for a tattoo. That's also where I would get a tattoo.
Yeah, I like it. I have a lot of little crappy ones everywhere.
I would want to get something right there.
Are you tattooless?
I'm tattooless, but I love that. Like that's where I would want to get one.
I like this one here too when I do stand up. I don't like how it looks in person, but like in stand up, I'm like, oh, cool. It looks cool in a photo.
I've never actually even noticed that tattoo on you.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad one. I got it really last minute. It bled already, and then I was like, ugh, it's fucked.
I'm surprised I never noticed it because I've seen you do stand-up many times. But yeah, it's like a nice little marker. But centering things back to yourself is so fucking important. And then it's like you're checking things off the list. And it's like, what am I doing this for?
You know what it is? I think I just need somebody to go like, hey, if you don't do this or this or this or short, like you're fine.
Yes.
Like, you're good. Like, it's nothing will happen. Like,
and the stakes are incredible, and being grateful too. Like, it is like, even if wanting to have a kid, but it's like, okay, like my sister has two kids, and it's like, oh man, imagine doing all this stuff and then having two kids.
I was thinking that when I was walking my dog today. Love walking my dog. Love Cheryl. It's like a very calming thing in the morning.
I miss having a dog so much, it's thrown me off my rocker.
Did you?
Because Ashley, when me and my girlfriend broke up, it was her dog.
You know that, yeah. I always say that Ashley's the cuntiest of all names.
Really?
Yeah, because I knew three Ashleys and they were all cunts, you know, survey says.
What? She was
just Ashley. Ash, like the way it sounds. Hi, I'm Ashley.
She, you knew her. She, yeah. But towards the end, maybe a little bit, but she was great and it was her dog. But so yeah. You walk your dog, and then what were you thinking when you were walking your dog?
I was thinking like, this is great, but like I could really get the day going if I didn't have to do this every day. Like I like was like, oh, yes. Hey, let's go.
Would
like,
you actually be up? Because the dog gets me up. He would get me up at 7 and then I would walk
the
dog.
That's the problem. So she has a little balcony, so she can pee and poop whenever she wants. Yeah, Cheryl's very independent, but she likes our bonding time. She does. Aww. I put in like one of those doggy doors into the balcony.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It does center you though, because probably no matter what the first thing you do in the day is, you're going to be like, fuck, I got to do these other things during the day. So it's almost being like, just like me, the biggest thing is being like, okay, now I really try to make it like I get up, drink water before I drink coffee, and then go exercise. And I have a friend that lives near me, and I was like, just let me know when you work out. Karen Feehan, she's a comedian too, and she goes to the gym all the time. So then if I meet her first thing, no matter what, I feel like I did that.
That's a good thing to have, like, moving, a buddy who like keeps you honest, like, right. Who's like, hey, if you're gonna be there, like I can disappoint myself, but
I'll
I don't
disappoint
hate
myself all day
disappointing other people.
That's all. I've never even heard of another concept of thing to do.
I know, right? But like other people, if other people are gonna be in the Zumba class, like I'm gonna be there. Also, new neighbor downstairs came upstairs. I'm finally doing Zoom. I'm like, this is for me, finally, right? Like, doing something for myself. And he's like, dude, it sounds like you're trotting. And I'm like, I am trotting.
Trotting to the beat.
I'm trotting. I'm running. I'm gonna be running faster. And he's like, yeah, I'm working and it's like very loud. I'm like, well, it's going to be loud for a week.
Good for you.
Straight. So
also trotting. If you really thought someone was up there trotting, is that the type of person you want to fucking confront? Like if they're trotting alone, what is trotting even? Is it a horse?
It's like, it's kind of like, you know, I guess I was like, I don't remember what I was doing, but I'm sure there's a gallop move within Zumba that I like.
If he thought
now everybody gallop.
If he thought you were trotting, he needs to sit down and shut the fuck up and like mind his business.
Like let her trot.
If he started trotting right now, I would pretend I didn't even see it.
Also, I live next to a girl who's like clearly on TikTok all the time because I hear this same song is starting in the same spot and over. Like just every once in a while, God. I'm like, she's doing a TikTok. It's gonna take her a few turns.
And everybody's working from home, so there's like all different adjustments of being like, okay, we're going to find time so we can all make it work.
I need to get out of this apartment. You have no idea. That's another thing that's making me crazy. Yeah, because I was in a long distance relationship and now all of a sudden we like live together in a one bedroom fucking apartment. Yeah. And it's like, ugh, like he, you know, I just know that he shits so much and I don't want to know. Like there needs to be a designated shit bathroom.
Totally.
That's what the 1.5 is, you know?
Totally. That's what the 1.5 is. And it's about keeping a little bit of, I mean, you need, I don't know. I've discovered I'm an introvert, so I actually recharge alone.
But I need to recharge alone. That's a new thing for me that I just read.
Introvert. Yeah. Are you the same, you think?
Yeah, I need to be alone more than he needs to be alone. He's like, let's just, you know, I'm like, no, like, why don't you take a walk? You know, I'm like,
totally.
And he's not in the city where he lives. And I'm like, so he doesn't have a lot of friends here. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. Can you go to the grocery store and find this one really specific thing so that I can have some time to just fart on my own?
It's important.
You
have to be able to regroup somewhere. Otherwise, you really do start to go. That's the biggest thing for me now is I am living by myself. And like, there'll be moments when I'll get back and like be like, alone in the apartment, and then I'll just be like, it's gonna be okay. So if you don't have that, that's tough.
I need to regroup. I need
regroup
to figure something out.
And then doing steps, I'll take that time to think too. 10,000
so, like,
steps,
what
baby.
What have we learned? We need medication.
I'm on medication.
You are for what? Like anxiety or for depression or all of it?
Wait, are you not on medication?
No, I've never taken, I like, honestly, this baby week has also been a week of like, I need a baby and I need medication. Probably not in that order.
Yeah, that'd be a good, when you go into the doctor, you're like, I'm thinking of having a baby, but also I need some like
also,
pills,
but wait,
so.
Does the medication, sorry, we're going to wrap up, but like, does the medication actually help? And are you scared if you get off of it, things will unravel really quickly?
Okay, so this is like a whole journey of a thing.
Yeah.
So I'll summarize it real quick. Oh God, I'm bad at summarizing things. I need to go more medication.
The clip art. Cliff notes.
I take Wellbutrin and Zoloft, and I take Vyvanse for my ADHD. Wellbutrin is for depression, Zoloft for anxiety. But I've been taking, but the stories of how I've been taking them, I don't even know how to summarize, but it does help.
But like you have to kind of, there's a trial and error period. Like it's just not going to be perfect in the beginning.
There was a trial and error period, but the thing that was I'm so grateful for with this time around, it's like I didn't go into it in a point of chaos. So like it wasn't like I had like a balanced like point to be like to changing the vibe. And it's the Wellbutrin and Zoloft. When I started taking that, that was like, I had stopped drinking. I was like smoking cigarettes. I was like, I need help. And so that was like harder to tell what's what, because there was like, it's like, could be this, could be because I'm fucking hungover. Like it was tough to know what's what. Oh. So you want to start, it's a long process for like figuring it out. So, oh wait, I dated a therapist one time. I was in a relationship with one. And she said this, that you might get something out of this. Yeah. She said, she's like, Emma, stop cheating on me. But then she also said, she's like,
hey, Emma, can you stop sleeping with other people? That's the best. That's what I prescribe.
Daddy daughter anal. I'm like, bitch. But she said, she was like, you can't always start at the finish line. You know what I'm saying? So you can't always start at the finish line.
I don't want to do a light jog until I get the right medication right.
No, you have to. That's the only way
I'm
there is.
I'm too scared. But you know what? Like, and my dad started doing anxiety meds and he's like a new,
huge.
New person. So
and
I'm
everything
like, maybe I need it.
Doesn't need to be a big thing. Like it could be some little, like I never upped my ADHD meds and I did a tiny little bit and I noticed a tiny little difference.
Ooh, you got your meds just right, huh? Your cocktail is like working.
Years though, it did take a long time.
Yeah, I'm just like on panic. I panic all day and then I smoke weed and finally feel good at night. That's literally my whole day. That's how I get through
it. Wait, so do you take panic pills?
No, I don't take, I've never taken any medication, never, ever, ever. I mean, Advil and like, you know, fun
sure,
ones.
Sure, sure.
But like, never.
Definitely some kind of anti-anxiety drug could help so much.
That's what everybody keeps saying, especially the voices in my head.
Especially the ones telling me not to take the
psychotic
pills.
Don't take meds. Yeah. We like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're happy.
I don't know why
here.
It sounds
don't
like
kill
Gollum.
Me.
Yeah. And maybe there was no child at all. It was just me imagining a kid being like, let's cuddle. Yikes, I'm losing it. I didn't even shoot a short film this weekend. All right, we have to wrap it up, but I want you to like do the plug thing.
Oh, yeah. Emma Willman on Instagram, 2 L's and 2 N's, and then I'll be in an upcoming episode of The Good Fight.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you. That was the show I shot.
That's so
that's
exciting.
That's when I got to the fucking self-tape. And guess what? Guess what?
What?
I played a straight girl and I was so proud of myself. And that is indicative of, I was doing fucking acting classes and I didn't take acting classes forever because I was like, wanted to start at the finish line. I would get too frustrated. And then I was like, fuck
this.
I need to go back.
What
can I control? And so I started doing them and I fucking hated it more than anything because I was like, I suck at this. And I felt getting better in little tiny increments. And then, you know, Bill Dawes.
Of course.
He helps with my auditions and he.
That's really sweet.
Hats off to him. I give him credit on this one. Something I had to do in it, he made me react to him in real life doing it and we caught it for the audition.
That's a good friend.
He got me, when I got that, I was like, we got that.
Yeah, shout out to Ben Seward, who's like my guy for that. I did a producer session the other day and they were like,
congratulations.
You can bring a reader. Oh,
really?
Or you could just have the reader like be the casting director. I was like, I'm gonna bring a reader.
Sure.
Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
And she was like actually really grateful. She was like, you're the first person I got to watch. But also when it ended, we had this like, me and my friend Ben, we were like, oh my God, that was so cool that we got to do that together. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
You know, it didn't go anywhere. And the girl who was in the waiting room, her name was Megalyn.
Damn.
I don't know who she is, but Megalyn. Wow.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's another Ashley.
That's a lot. Every time you meet someone, my name is Megalyn. What
Megalyn.
Is it? Megalyn.
It's like Megan and Lynn together?
Yeah. Megalyn.
Megalyn.
Oof. Sounds like you also have like, these are a lot of really exciting, stimulating things. It's like you're not just getting out of COVID. You're having a lot of stimulation.
There's too much stimulation.
Yeah,
my clit's going to explode.
Stimulation.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I just need to like, I don't know. I came last night. I feel good about
That's
it.
That's good.
Like, it helped.
It helps.
I feel more calm this morning. I know everybody was wondering. We should start every episode with, did we come last night? That's a good segment. Write that down.
I've never been coming more. Like, I've been coming so much. It's insane.
I
can't even believe
you.
It. Yeah,
you
thank you so
much.
You
do look like, you know, you've got this, like, shine to you.
That was the Accutane. I'm going to be totally honest. I took Accutane for a while and it cleared up my skin.
Wait, how did
Botox.
This is too many meds, Emma. They're mixing together.
Yeah.
Like, so the Accutane didn't fuck up all the anxiety meds?
No, and I'm on a low dose of everything. And Accutane was a while ago, but the glow is from the Botox and fillers.
Love that. Oh, I
yes.
remember. Yes, as well.
Yes.
Love a little Botox.
But I have been having like so much sex recently too. Not bragging because I wasn't having sex for
You're
a long time.
You're living the life. You got a TV show coming out.
No, I'm crippling anxiety, lots of problems.
Same.
Good.
So this
big
is,
issues,
this
family
is making me
problems.
Feel good. Oh, same.
Things
yeah.
are not okay. I'm scared. I'm fearful. My sponsor's got cancer. Like, I'm struggling. It is what it is, but it's okay. I mean, everything's going to be fine. He's fine. So.
Dude,
so yeah,
I like that you see that was a roundup. You did it. You didn't think you could, but I'm here to tell you that you actually are very good at summaries. You just summarize your chaos within. Yeah, like I feel like that's like a 2-minute clip. We can just Emma Willman. You want to know her? Here we go.
Yeah, I'm totally fine. I'm okay.
Everything's falling apart, but we're good.
But things are okay.
We're good. And then how long are you in LA? Do you have any, you said no shows in LA.
I'm not doing shows, but yeah. I've been doing a lot. I've been in New York. I've been doing like 1 to 4 shows a night, actually. Which
so many.
But it is different in New York. And sometimes if I'm like doing a bunch of them, it's almost less stressful because I think about it less.
Here, it's like you cannot have really 2 good shows in a row. Like, right. I already know this weekend I have 2. It's going to be bad. Guys, go to jadecataprata.com or my Instagram to look at shows.
Promo.
Transition.
I know it's going to be bad. But come see her in real time.
Hey, you guys, come see me sweat in real time. Yes. Like, do I remember how to do stand-up? I don't know. Maybe I don't. You come judge for yourself.
But it's an incredible process to be a part of, to get in right now. If you come to a show right now, it's like you're getting to see like a whole special thing. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it is. Were you doing a podcast as well? Or we did the How to Come Together.
Mateo and I have a podcast, Inside the Closet, that comes out every Thursday.
So check that out as well. I haven't seen Mateo in a while with a shirt on. So that's exciting as
He's doing really well.
He's so cute. Yeah. He's so cute. Well, guys, it's been really fun. Emma, thank you again.
Thank you for having
Everybody
me.
Check her out.
Yeah,
You've been
please.
Jaded.
Bye.
Hey, jaded, jaded, like you anticipated. Hey, haters gonna hate it. And yeah, it's X-rated. Let my words get you faded.
Jaded.
Mano, vamos ficar jadeada.
Ah, vamos lá.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.